here ourselves and the atmosphere for this discussion, which is a spiritually focused discussion. We're going to chant some mantras. We're going to chant some mantras. I will lead the chanting, and you respond. I chant a mantra, and you chant in response like that. I think many of you are familiar with this, the process. We'll chant a couple of mantras. The first one, if you know the first one, well, join in with that also. But the second mantra we'll chant is the Hare Krishna mantra, Maha Mantra. And we'd like you to join in with that at least. We can just do a little practice run now, in case some of you are not familiar with it. Repeat after me, please. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama
Rama.
Rama Rama.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Well done. Thank you. Okay, so we'll chant these mantras now for a few minutes. Then we'll say a few words on the subject, overcoming bad habits. And while we're doing that, our organizer will pass out a sheet of paper and a pen. So if anyone has any questions, particularly on the specific subject, not just in a general sense, but questions on this particular subject, overcoming bad habits, then you can write the question down, pass the sheet on to the next person, and then when I've finished my basic talk, I'll have a look at the questions and see if we can answer some of your questions. Okay, so here we go. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gopakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you. yes, thank you all for coming and participating. Very nice. Our subject is overcoming bad habits. Very interesting and very important subject. We see in this world, in this material world, people are challenged in different ways by different things. I have a challenge here. This microphone is electrified. If I touch it. Oh, at least I won't fall asleep. It's a bit of a shock. So people are challenged in different ways. There are health challenges, and financial challenges, and different social challenges, political challenges, and so on and so forth. But a very important type of challenge is the internal challenge. And internal, I don't just mean physically internal, that's just more like a health challenge if you have some physical condition. But I'm talking about internal, in a more personal sense, psychological, emotional, and so on like that. People become dependent on different things. When I was young, I studied in a university in Auckland, New Zealand. I was studying philosophy. And one of the philosophers we studied was Bertrand Russell, who was a British philosopher of 100 or 100 and something years ago. And in his own way, of course, he was very astute and very clever. But Bertrand Russell was famous, among many other things, for being addicted to cigarettes. That's a habit. That's quite a challenge. If you develop that habit, costly, bad for the health, and in many different ways. So anyway, yes, Bertrand Russell, he was famous for that. You know, in those days, they didn't have television, believe it or not. There was life before television. That may be a bad habit also, television. So, they didn't have television, and as a result, many things which are not really so popular nowadays were popular then. And in those days, philosophy, just, you know, different ideas about what is life, etc., it was a fairly popular subject. And philosophers, there were some well-known philosophers in those days, and they had followings even. And Bertrand Russell was one of them. But as we said, he was famous for having a smoking habit, smoking problem. And one time he was interviewed on the radio, and the interviewer was a bit of a humorist, and he said, "Mr. Russell, we hear you know a lot about smoking, and we wonder, have you got any advice for people, our listeners out there in radio land, who smoke a lot and who would like to give up smoking, break that habit?" And Bertrand Russell, he laughed and he said, "Oh yes, giving up smoking, and that's easy." He said, "That's easy, very easy. I've done it many times." works. So, but now, at least in the context which I'm going to make my brief presentation in, habits here, I'm going to talk about particularly some fundamental habits, you could say, like lust, anger, greed, pride, envy, arrogance, fear. Let me just focus on them primarily. Although it's a fact that the principles which I will mention in terms of overcoming these habits, the same principles apply to like smoking habits, drinking habits, and there are many different types of habits. When I first joined the Hare Krishna movement, that was early January 1973, a little over 40 years ago. That was in London. So one of our main programs in those days for the Hare Krishna devotees who were temple resident, as I became, one of our main programs was we would go out chanting in the streets of London, what they call the West End of London. It's the main shopping area and entertainment area. Oxford Street's the main street. So we would go up and down and up and down and up and down Oxford Street every day chanting. And we would go out maybe by 9:30 or 10, and we would chant up and down Oxford Street until it was about 12:30. We'd come back for lunch, and then maybe 2-ish or 2:30, we'd go out again and go chanting again until 5-ish, and then come back and we'd have an evening program. So hours every day we were doing that. And one of my memories of those early days living in the Temple of London, one of the first things I remember was, after just a few days, losing my voice because it was midwinter in London, which, you know, is pretty much different from midwinter in Germany. It was cold, and we were just chanting and chanting for, say, a good 6 hours a day, and I lost my voice. So we would go out every day, and would you believe, from time to time, just try and get this, from time to time we would be arrested. Can you imagine? I got arrested so many times, I just lost count altogether. But I would say I got arrested about once a week for 3 years. And sometimes I had to stay in the cells overnight and appear in court the next day and get fined £5 usually. The charge was obstructing the footpath. I'm serious. So we got to know the policemen well. And sometimes they'd come to arrest. They'd arrest us normally once a week. And sometimes they'd come a few days later to arrest us a second time in a week. And we would tell them, no, no, you can't do that. You already arrested us this week. And they'd say, oh, okay, okay. And they'd leave it till next week. And we were on first name terms with really quite a number of them. So anyway, the thing is, in regard to habits at least, that we would have to, normally they just let us out on bail and we'd have to come to court the next morning. But when you go into the court, before you actually appear and get, you know, the charge is spoken to the judge and then the whole thing happens, you have to wait in the back. And in the back they have holding cells. And in the holding cells they have advertisements for offering facilities and services to people who have bad habits, because, you know, a lot of the people who end up in that situation having to appear in court, a lot of them have bad habits. So there were stickers and little flyers stuck on the wall in the holding cells for Alcoholics Anonymous. No doubt you've all heard about that. Anyone?
Yeah? Yes, I'm
one. Okay, we have a veteran here. They had advertisements for Smokers Anonymous, because I think we all know that for really a lot of people it's a major problem. But they've got the habit, they're addicted actually, physically and psychologically. There were little flyers and little advertisements for Gamblers Anonymous, because some people, they also have a gambling habit and they're addicted, at least psychologically, even though they may lose everything and lose more than everything and just devastate themselves financially, but they just can't get out of it. And now, listen to this one. You're going to laugh. This is my prediction. I am predicting the future. And you're going to laugh when I say this. There was at least one, and there were a few, advertisements for Tea Drinkers Anonymous. So I told you, you'd laugh. But I'm not joking. I'm completely serious. There were advertisements for Tea Drinkers Anonymous, and there were advertisements for Coffee Drinkers Anonymous, because these things are addictive, you know, less than cigarettes and alcohol and narcotic drugs, etc. But actually they are addictive. So what I'll mention now, just briefly, some ideas about overcoming bad habits. I'll relate particularly to the internal conditions, psychological and emotional conditions I mentioned initially, lust, anger, greed, and pride, arrogance, envy, fear. I'll talk mainly in regard to those, but the same principles apply to these other more sort of blatant, and at least many of them are more clearly understood by the population at large as being bad habits, like alcoholism and so on. So, yes, living here within this material world, according to Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, somewhere presenting from the perspective of the Hare Krishna movement, our basic scripture is Bhagavad Gita. Although we have a whole body of scriptures, but Bhagavad Gita is the first. So in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains that we are all eternal spiritual persons, and these bodies we have are vehicles, and the minds we have, they're also part of the vehicle type of arrangement here. The mind is perhaps more like a gearbox, a way of transmitting from, you know, if you're a driver, I imagine you'd understand what I mean. And you have the driver, and the driver has to transmit to the car how he would like the car to go. You know, you can stay in first gear for the rest of your life if you want, and you could even just drive in reverse. But the driver, through the gearbox, transmits, and even it's called the transmission, changing gears first, second, third, fourth, and so on. And in this way, the car acts differently. And then, of course, via the steering wheel, via the brakes, the driver is transmitting to the vehicle different instructions and just physically doing different things which act on the vehicle. So, according to Krishna then in Bhagavad Gita, the person, in Sanskrit, the term Atma is used, Atma. In English, the synonym is soul, basically. At least we generally use that as a synonym. So the soul means the person, the conscious living being, is there within the vehicle, which is the material body, and which is made of blood and bones and so on, and on a chemical level the body can be evaluated, that the bones are mainly calcium, and if you're getting older, watch out for osteoporosis. Generally means the calcium is kind of wearing out of your bones and the bones become weaker. So the body can be understood in different ways, in chemical terms, in molecular terms, cellular terms. But basically, as Krishna explains there, the body is the vehicle. And then we have the mind, and the mind is something like the gearbox, or the different instruments which are there in the car, by which the car is made to operate in different ways, turn, go faster, go slower, and so on like that. The mind is something like a gearbox. So the purport of that basically is that we are not these bodies. Just as when you have your motor car, you are not your motor car. In fact, I've had the experience before of seeing people on the road having some minor accident, and the one driver jumps out and says, "You hit me!" You may have experienced that myself. I've seen it with my own eyes and heard it with my own ears. "You hit me, but you did not hit me, your car hit my car. Of course, you are responsible for your car, but still, basically the cars hit each other." But there's this tendency to misidentify. And in general material life, we misidentify in terms of thinking, "I am this body. I am a European man. Male. And I am, at least by birth, a New Zealander." And people will think, "Oh, that's who I am. And you are a woman, and someone is young, and someone is Indian or African or Russian or Chinese." In terms of the body, and people think, "This is me, this is you." But this is a misidentification, according to Krishna's explanation there in Bhagavad Gita, just as much it is as it is a misidentification for the one driver to say, "You hit me." But it's like a spontaneous reaction to the situation. "You hit me." But it's misidentification. So Krishna's explanation is that we misidentify with the body, which is material and made of chemicals. When I was in school, we were told our bodies were, if I remember correctly, 70% water. I don't know if it has changed, if now the body is 80% water or 60%. But that's what we were taught. So water, just water, as comes out of the tap, H2O, but apparently our bodies are mainly H2O. But we have a higher nature. We are eternal spiritual persons. So according to Krishna's explanation in Bhagavad Gita, because we are of a higher nature, we are eternal. We are not subject to death. Even we are not subject to disease or aging. As eternal spiritual persons, your state is fixed. As Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, in the eternal kingdom of God, everybody who is there, they have a spiritual body of a certain age. But that is their nature eternally. They don't get any older. They are eternally, for example, youthful. Many of Krishna's friends in the kingdom of God, they're young boys, young girls, even pre-teen or teenage, like that. And that's their state eternally. They don't get older and they are never younger. They're eternally like that. And not subject to all the difficulties which our material bodies are subject to in this world, like getting older, like disease, like death, and even things like if someone physically attacks you, something like that, the body gets hurt. So spiritual bodies are not subject to those things. They're impervious to these different types of frailties and conditions. But now, material life means that eternal spiritual person comes down from the eternal level to this temporary material level, which is fraught with these serious problems. Actually, insurmountable. Insurmountable problems, culminating in, of course, death. Culminating in death, which is insurmountable. So the high, eternal, fully conscious, spiritual living being gets put in this, in the vehicle. And the idea is that the vehicle, and just like a motor car has no consciousness at all. When the driver gets in, then it acts in apparently intelligent ways, but it's just a reflection of the intelligence of the driver. The car has literally no intelligence or consciousness whatsoever. But he's just lent those things, in a sense, by the presence of the driver. So similarly, our bodies are animated by the presence of the living conscious soul. An example we could give to illustrate the point, perhaps in certain respects, is if you have a watch. Most watches nowadays are battery driven. So you can open your watch and take out the battery, and what happens? The battery stops. Because the movement of the watch stops. The movement of the watch is not coming from the watch, it is coming from the battery. And without the battery, the watch, it just immediately stops functioning. It doesn't have the capacity to move. It's the battery which supplies that. So similarly, these bodies, they have no life of their own, and no consciousness of their own. They are linked, those things, by the presence of the soul. So now, bad habits. Where do bad habits come in? Bad habits come in that these bodies have certain tendencies. These bodies have senses, and senses get stimulated by different types of sense gratification. Like we mentioned earlier, Mr. Russell and his smoking. Smoking, people get something from smoking. We hear that they don't get a lot from smoking, but despite the fact they don't get a lot from smoking, I mean, it's not that exciting, but still, people become addicted to that experience. And even there may be a physical element to the addiction. But now the soul, the living being, is of a higher nature, beyond the nature of this body. To illustrate that point a little bit, we could consider, here we are at the beach, and I'm looking out at the waves, and another, believe it or not, I used to surf. Can you believe it? In fact, I used to live to surf. And it's a bit of a bad habit, because I look out and I see the surf and I have to think, what is that? So, yes. So, people, with these material bodies, I was giving the example of at the beach, the children. Many times children come to a beach, they want to build a sandcastle, and someone comes and knocks over the sandcastle, or the tide comes in and washes it away. And I've seen children become very emotional and sort of traumatized. My sandcastle! Oh! It's the disaster of the day. But for adults come to the beach and they generally don't build sandcastles because they've sort of gone beyond it. And children play with little toy cars. Adults have big cars. And they're just not attracted because they've sort of gone beyond being attracted to little toy cars. So as eternal spiritual persons, we exist on a higher level. The pleasures of the soul in his or her natural spiritual situation, which is one of rendering service to the Lord, the pleasures of the soul are so much higher than the pleasures of the senses of this body. It's like a completely different dimension. An explanation which is given is that pleasure which comes, the natural pleasure of the eternal spiritual person in service to the Lord, is like an ocean. In other words, practically speaking, pretty much unlimited. Who's going to measure how many liters are in the Indian Ocean? So the pleasures of the soul in his or her natural condition of spiritual life, in a spiritual environment, performing spiritual activity, are like an ocean, whereas the pleasures of material existence, like smoking, like drinking, and all these types of things, they are compared to the amount of water in the hoof print of a calf, which is pretty small, isn't it? It's really very small. And relatively speaking, you could barely calculate how much smaller it is. So in this world, people are absorbed on the material level. As a result, they are not experiencing their natural spiritual pleasures. They kind of alienated themselves from that in consciousness, in desires, and in their life's activities. They've lost contact with their own spiritual nature and the pleasures which are there in that. And now they're just absorbed in everyday life, and what is there? What is there? Just eat, drink, and be merry, and, some drugs, the opposite sex. These are the pleasures of this world, but they are not really very great at all. They're really not, certainly not very great. If they were really very great, people were just enjoying fantastically, there'd be a lot more happy people in this world. But there's a great shortage of happy people, because the pleasures in this world, relative to the natural pleasures of the soul, they're very, very small. One of our great acharyas, spiritual teachers, his name is Yamuna Acharya. Before he got into spiritual life, he had been a king. And he was really a person who, as king, he took advantage of his position as king, all the opulence and power. And he had all facilities and many women, sort of like almost any woman he wanted, something like that. So, but then, in one way or another, he ended up becoming a devotee and giving all of that up, giving the kingdom up, and just becoming fully absorbed in spiritual life. And he became very advanced and became a great spiritual authority in the later part of his life. So he said that when I think back to how I used to enjoy with women, and I thought, this is just, this is the best. Of all the different facilities I have, like almost unrestricted access to women, it is just really the best. So he wrote that when I think back to what I experienced in that, how I felt about it, when I thought about it, and just what it all felt like, and I compare that pleasure to the pleasure I'm getting now, being fully engaged in pure spiritual life in the service of the Lord, then that pleasure of sex life, to me, it appears so, like, pathetic, actually, so pathetic. He says that my lips curl and I spit in distaste. Now, we may be sitting here thinking that, oh, wow, that sounds interesting, but for me, I'm still very attached to things like that, or to one degree or another, I'm attached to things like that. I'm not so advanced spiritually. But here, based on Bhagavad Gita, in Krishna consciousness, our method for overcoming bad habits is very specifically to rise above them. Rise above them by coming to the spiritual platform in your life. Spiritual activities, spiritual consciousness, spiritual thoughts, spiritual desires, spiritual association, because spirit is higher than matter. Spirit, we as spiritual persons, we are eternal. In terms of our bodies, our lives are very short. So, if we come to the spiritual platform, then in a very natural and very simple way, you just naturally rise above the habits, be they lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, arrogance, even fear, and then the other things like drinking, smoking, and, you know, if you're someone like Bill Clinton, having an addiction actually to sex. So you can rise above it. Sometimes people who understand that these things, like, just for argument's sake, like smoking, who understand that it is a problem, and it is a bad habit, it is an addiction, and it is detrimental in many ways. Sometimes they approach us and they inquire what is Hare Krishna, and we tell them we don't do these things. We don't smoke. And I've had experience on many occasions. Some of them say, really? You don't smoke? How do you do that? How did you give that up? How did you give that up? Or drinking, or I'm also vegetarian. I've had many people ask me, how did you give up eating meat? It's just like they can't comprehend. It does not compute. And one answer that we give sometimes is that through coming to a higher level, a spiritual level, developing your life spiritually, it's not exactly that you come to the point where you can just give up eating meat or give up smoking, like you become strong enough and I won't smoke again, and you fight off the desire, and, you know, like that. But what we say sometimes is that if you develop your spiritual life, and in our experience, if you develop Krishna consciousness, then you will not give up meat, the meat will give up you. Or you will not just give up smoking, but smoking will give up you. In the sense that if you actually come to a higher level of consciousness, one morning you will wake up, so to speak. One morning you will wake up and you'll find that you're just not interested at all. It just doesn't register anymore. Just as much as for an adult, generally, the idea of building a sandcastle on the beach, you know, it just doesn't occur to them. Whereas for a child, it may be a big thing, I must build a sandcastle. Yes, so this is the practical effectiveness of developing a spiritual life. And you can elevate your consciousness, elevate your being to a higher level, a spiritual level, and in that way, in a very natural way, without force or having to undergo some special sort of treatment like electronic cigarettes or something like that, a patch on your arm so you know, somehow or other it will help you give up smoking. You won't have to do that, but you'll find you just in a natural way you lose interest in these things through experiencing the higher taste of pleasure which is there in spiritual life. So, time check. Oops. No time for questions, sorry about that. So let me conclude that we recommend, of course, very strongly, and from my own experience, I recommend extremely strongly, that people should try to cultivate spiritual life. Try to cultivate Krishna consciousness. If one really gives it a good try, and you know, let's face it, if you're thinking of getting into something, and you know, it looks like it could be interesting, maybe I should give it a try. Well, give it a good try. Don't just be half-hearted. Give it a really good try. Do your best to break through and see what's in it, which the people who are doing it talk about. Experience it for yourself. So give spiritual life a try. Give Krishna consciousness a try. If any of you are new to these things, I'm looking around, I see many of you are not so new to these things. But if any of you really are new to these things, speak to the devotees. Find out about the different practices, different activities, which help us to bring ourselves to a spiritual level. And experience it yourself. It really is very wonderful. Very, very wonderful, and as far as I'm concerned, well worth the effort. Now, you know what's happened? They've decided to give me another 15 minutes. I was going to ask you if that's okay, because I don't want to, you know, wipe any of you out or beat you too much. So, will I just continue till further notice, is it? Or something like that. My life seems to be a tangle of so many bad habits, and it's hard to know where to start sorting it out. Some are subconscious, and others I know are very bad, but I'm stubborn to change even when I know they are killing me. How do I get started and stay encouraged when there's so much work to do? Okay, that's interesting. My late mother, lived in the last maybe 5 years of her life or so, lived in a sort of a retirement village in New Zealand, and I would visit her every year. And in one of the next little apartments there was a man younger than me. Well, he may have been 40 or 45 or something like that. But he was living in the retirement village because he had lung cancer, or I think emphysema, which is something connected with lung cancer from something to do with smoking, and it's fatal. So, there he is. He's being cared for. They had 24-hour medical care available, and the doctors would come every day. And his thing was, they were trying to help him to recover, if possible. But, every now and then, you know what I would see when I would visit my mother for a week every year? This man would go out looking this way and then that way so that no one was watching, and he'd smoke a cigarette. And you know, and he died, actually. He died. And he was like the mid-40s maximum. So yeah. It sounds a bit extreme, but it's a fact. Some people do have bad habits, which are killing them, literally. But because of personal weakness, they cannot stand up against their bad habits and say no. So the question is, I guess, well, how do I get started and stay encouraged when there's so much work to do? Well, going back to what I was saying, in principle, the idea is that seeing we're spiritual persons, we should try to rise up to the spiritual level, the spiritual platform, so we become independent of the desires and feelings of the body. It doesn't mean you become feelingless or, you know, like a stone, you just become impervious. Not at all. But you become free from the lower influences and you experience the higher pleasures and the higher emotional experiences also. Ultimately of love and God. In very personal terms. So that's the basic idea of the basic program, basic approach. But how do you get started and stay encouraged? What I would say is, you need an association of like-minded people. It's very important. We have here a veteran from Alcoholics Anonymous. Is that correct? Is that right, yeah? Okay. Right, there he is. You know, I've known some people who were members of Alcoholics Anonymous, and at least I've been told by some of them that the dropout rate is high. I don't know in the group that you were involved in, but I was told that in some places the dropout rate is 90% of the people go back to the old ways. So the thing is, but I can say, through being involved in Krishna consciousness now for a little more than 40 years, I can say that in Krishna consciousness, the dropout rate, there is, but it's much, much, much less than 90% or 80% or 70% or 50%. It's much less. It's a lot less. Because it's just a different approach. It's a higher type of approach to the subject. But like in Alcoholics Anonymous, they meet, I think, every week or so, is that right?
Every day.
And tell their stories and, you know, reinforce each other and encourage each other. Association in anything, association is extremely important. To associate with people who have the same interests, And we like doing the same things, and then you can do them with them and share. It often really brings things to life. You know, I used to play cricket. Have you ever tried playing cricket against yourself? Oh, I really played cricket a lot. So, but when you play with other people, oh, it's interesting. But playing rugby against yourself, and you make yourself a springbok. So now I'm from New Zealand, I can be both an All Black and a springbok. In fact, I was on a plane once, many years ago, and the springboks were on the plane. And I walked on, and at the door, we had to show them our passports to prove who we were. I had my New Zealand passport, and the springboks were there, and they saw my New Zealand passport. And they sort of let me have it a bit. Then I whipped out my South African passport. And they became a little nonplussed. But anyway, play rugby against yourself, I don't know. So association is extremely important in anything. And in spiritual life, it's also invaluable. Prabhupada, our spiritual master, would say, Krishna consciousness is 90% association. That's a lot. It's kind of like all pervasive. It's interwoven into practically all the activities which are involved. So that's what I'd say. Get started by associating with devotees. Keep going, stay encouraged by regularly associating with devotees. Does chanting alone Does chanting alone the Krishna mantra help to overcome one's bad habits? Well, the chanting of mantras in general helps tremendously in spiritual life, because mantra means spiritual sound vibration. Spiritual sound vibration. In other words, it is of the eternal nature. The nature of the soul, the nature of spirit, according to Krishna and Bhagavad Gita, is in Sanskrit, Sat Chit Ananda, eternal, fully conscious, and full of bliss. So in all spiritual activity, you find that. It brings you to the level of eternality, clear consciousness, and great spiritual pleasure. And mantra, chanting mantra, is one of the very important parts of spiritual life, a very important spiritual activity. So, you know, it helps also to have variety. People can generally only chant mantra. This thing is electrified. I just got reminded. To chant mantra all the time, you have to be quite advanced. But at least one should regularly chant mantra. And then for a bit of variety, do some other spiritual activity. Prabhupada would say, chant Hare Krishna. And when you get a little tired of it, eat some prasadam. And when you've had enough prasadam, read one of the books, spiritual literature. And when you've read the book, do some spiritual activity, some service to the Lord. When you've done that, maybe you'll be ready to chant mantra again. So there's some variety. It's nice. But yeah, if you really get into it, mantra alone may be sufficient. Not just sufficient, but maybe just the most wonderful thing. How does one overcome challenges such as not attending social events in the workplace and family socials, especially when trying to practice spiritual life? Well, yes, you don't want to sort of come across as being snobby, elitist, some sort of fanatic, spiritual fanatic. Well, you don't not just want to appear to be, but you don't want to be like that. In fact, a person who is spiritually advanced and stable and well balanced spiritually will be able to interact with anybody, practically anybody, and deal nicely with practically any type of situation or social event. What does this say? Oh, I get the hint. Anyway, if there's some really nonsense situations, you know, like full-scale nonsense, like the office party at Christmas where everyone has to get drunk or else they're not cool, then just don't go. And otherwise, in general, try to share spiritually with people as much as you can. And the intelligent people and nice people, they'll get the idea, hey, yeah, this sounds good. And in this way, you can avoid getting sort of dragged down by useless social situations. So, thank you all very much. Nice to be with you. Have a nice time at the festival. And thank you for listening very patiently. Hare Krishna.